My mom, Janini.
Awesome, awesome. Hey, let's give creative a hand. Okay, cool. How are you, Ecclesia? You know the mind of your king? Not sure. You may be seated. How are you guys going? You going all right? Feeling all right? Put on weight? At the gym now? It's a great season. It's a great season. You know what? I actually want to talk about vision. And the vision I want to talk about is not the vision of this church, of the house. When we can see that Pastor Andrew is going to bring and unpack that on the 31st of January. But the vision I want to talk about is you. It's your personal endeavor. Is that okay? Yep. That's great. That's great. And so I want to spend some time on that this morning. And it's a big subject for a little bit of time I've got. But with God, all things are what? And Janine can talk fast. And that helps when I'm a fast talker. And so I just pray for application, but more than that, but revelation. Especially this is a great time. It's the first time of the year. It's the first Sunday. So it is indeed a privilege. Why don't you grab your Bibles, grab your notebooks. And what I want to do this morning, I want to bring some thoughts, but I also want to put some handles on it so that you're able to walk away, hopefully, not only inspired, but also how to do it. Is that okay? Yeah, that's what I believe teaching's about. It's about, giving stuff, but it's also grabbing it and being able to walk out of here and doing it. And then so we just want to do some equipping for the church. Turn your Bibles to a well-known verse, Proverbs 29, verse 18. And I want to start off with a statement, if I may. Nothing disciplines your life like vision. Discipline is defined as self-imposed standards for the sake of a higher goal. Come on. Say that once more. Nothing disciplines your life like vision. Discipline is defined as self-imposed standards for the sake of a higher goal. The key to achieving vision is by discipline. Amen? You want to do something, you want to achieve something, you got to have a D word in your pocket. And that's called discipline. Discipline. Let me read that verse. And it goes, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. Where there is no vision, someone finish it. Where there is no vision, people cast off restraint, but they perish. That is how important a vision is to an individual. You know, one of the questions I believe that mankind has always been asking, or they may have not asked yet, but they will ask in their time, is what am I on planet Earth for? Why am I here? What am I here for? I'm here more than just to take up room and breathe. Amen? Tell me someone's more than that. Of course we are. But if you don't know where you're going and how to get there, it's going to be tricky. I'm 50, and you want to hope I kind of know what I'm doing, especially for the sake of preaching this word. Because when you preach a word, you should have already died to it, yeah? Three times you died, before it, during it, and after it. Three times. Where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. You know, when I was growing up, in New Zealand, we used to always go somewhere for a holiday, and my uncle was a crayfishman. You guys like crayfish?
Yeah.
And anyway, so we used to go there every single year, and it was just fantastic. And he, you know, he brought in the crays and all the right size. And so we did it. And at night, what we'd do, we'd go fishing on the wharf. So he had like a jetty kind of thing happening, and it was a wharf. And I don't know you guys, but it always freaks me out when it comes to you, the water, and the boat, yeah? Because when you look down there, you don't want to fall down there. Well, guess what? I fell down there. And it was around 9 o'clock at night, and I'm the youngest of my cousins, and I was under the age of 10 in jeans. And when I stepped onto the boat, guess what? The boat wasn't there. And why it wasn't there was because the ropes were too loose between the boat and the jetty. Or else I had really little legs and I couldn't reach. But the ropes were loose. And so what I did, I plummeted down and I was between the pillar, you know, the pillars under the water, and the boat. It's so bad. And so when the water would come in, I saw the boat coming for me. So I was like that. So I was behind the pillar. And, you know, my cousins didn't really notice I was missing. That's a little bit of the worst thing. But the reason why the boat wasn't there was because the ties were loose. When you don't live a life, when you don't have vision, your life is loose. You know, it says to throw off, it throws off self-control. Where there is no revelation of the future, a person throws off self-discipline because there's no discipline. Discipline is a very powerful word, amen? Self-imposed standards for the sake of a higher goal is for you in your life. You know, we admire people with vision, yeah? I do. They have disciplined lives. You know, the discipline is the vehicle for the outworking of the vision. The discipline is a vehicle for the outworking of the vision. This, you know, when we look at athletes, right? When we look at athletes, they are a group of disciplined people. We admire them. We watch them. Some of us pay to watch them go into a footy game. We even pay Foxtel Sports Channel to actually watch them. We don't want to play with the game, but we admire them. Amen? We admire them. Why? Because we are attracted to them. We are attracted to them. You know, I can't stand soccer, can't stand the game, but I love watching Beckham. You guys got it? I don't like cricket at all because I don't understand it. Yeah? You like cricket, mate? No, you're with me. You know, I don't like AFL, Australia. Is that Australian football? I knew I was going to hit the Williamses somehow. But, you know, when I watch them on the highlights, I'm attracted to them. When I watch the Tigers win twice this year, okay, three times this year, last year, four, you're attracted to them. You watch Robbie Farrow as he walks around. You know, you watch him. You know, we watched American football on Christmas Day. And, I didn't understand it because they've got that much padding on them. Not like AFL. But, you know, when you're looking at them, you admire them. Is that right? Because these guys had a vision, jumped on the vehicle of discipline, come on, church, and it sorted out their life. If you have a vision to become, snooker player, and that's a talent as well, playing snooker. Yeah. So if I have a vision to become something and I don't put a vehicle of discipline, guess what? The vision ain't gonna happen. it is just going to be a really, really good idea in the beginning of 2016. You know, when I was young, 1976, I watched the Olympic Games on the black and white TV because colour wasn't out yet. Amen. And but it looked good. It looked good. And I was watching a little 14-year-old Romanian called Nadia Comăneci. You're like, yeah, Nadia Comăneci. And she was brilliant. And she was a little 14-year-old, and I remember I was little. I was only around 12, something like that. And but I remember watching her, and I was mesmerized by her. And a lot of people, and even the manufacturers that did this, the scoreboard, they actually said to the Olympic officials, they said, look, do we need four digits to be put? You know, do we need the scoreboard to have four digits? And they said, no one will, that is impossible, for no one will ever get a 10 in gymnastics. And she not only got it once, twice, three times, four, five, six, seven times. Nadia Comăneci. And I don't know if you guys remember her, but I was totally engrossed by this girl, that I followed her life. And in the year 2000, when I was at the Olympic Games, the elevator opened, and who should be in there? Nadia Comăneci. I know, I was a stunned mullet. And she was there, and she was a judge for the gymnastics at Sydney Olympics. And I was actually part of the team for risk management there. And so when, you know, I was doing my thing, and then the elevator opened for me to walk in, and she was there. Now, I knew she was somewhere on the ground, but I didn't know I'd actually meet her. Well, I didn't really meet her. But I walked in. So you got to understand, guys, that I have admired her. I have watched her. I have seen her and followed her life all these years. What attracted me to her was her discipline and her vision and her outcome. Anyway, let me tell you about the elevator. So I walk in, trying to be really, really serious with the clipboard and the uniform on. And you know, you just can't stand there and not say anything. Is that right? Is that right? You guys wouldn't, you know, if you had your hero there, no, you guys wouldn't say anything. No, you would. You would, but it's what you say. It's all in the delivery. It's all in the delivery. So anyway, I walk in, and I am just starstruck. And I walk in, and she's there, and she is like tiny as. She's like little. She's really tiny. Totally proportioned, though. She's awesome. So she's little. And then this massive guy was next to her, and they were talking. You know, they were chatting. They didn't even acknowledge me. But I had to say something. So I said, in all my wisdom, have you enjoyed Sydney? And she said to me in her half American Romanian accent, because she defected, right, to the US. And she just said something like, yes, I have. And I tell you, I was just in the moment. And then she left. But I admired her. Yeah, I must tell you a story. There was one day we went to a colour conference, and there was me, Mona, Marianne, and a couple of other friends, and Louis Giglio got onto the elevator. Hey, babe. And we had to say something. Well, I had to say something. Because he had preached the night before. So when we all, because we all shared the same room. So when we went to bed, we were talking about Louis Giglio and dreaming of him, of his word, of the universe. And we just had to say something. And he had his wife next to him clinging. Wasn't she, Mona? She was clinging on to him because of us. And we just said something like, we really enjoyed your word last night, Louis. And he just said, thank you. Thank you. But when you come across people with disciplined vision, you admire them. People are attracted to you when you're disciplined. They are attracted to you when you're integral with that discipline. Amen. A man or a woman that live a life with vision live a very narrow life. Live narrowly, but not loose. They've got tight lives, and their lives are very simple and not really stressful because they know where they're going. When you capture a vision, it simplifies everything because the vision controls, listen to this, the vision controls your choices. Once you know where you're going, you automatically know where you're not going. If my vision takes me to the left, the right isn't even part of the story. If you know what to do, you know what not to do. If someone offers you something and it doesn't collaborate with your vision, it's so easy to say no. Vision has simplified your life. You know, here's a revelation for me that happened, and it goes like this. I was not born to do everything. Amen. Come on, wives and husbands. We were not born to do everything. Our attitude, or my attitude, may have been I was to do everything in life. That is not true. I used to think that, but I don't think that anymore. Isn't that wonderful? There's no pressure. There's no pressure. When you study people that are influential, like Moses, Joseph, David, our Lord, Paul, they are simple people. They're not complex. They're simple. And here's a term they may use. This one thing I do. When they get to the point, when you get to the point of your life and you know that one thing, I believe you're healthier, you live longer, you're less stressed, because it comes from knowing what you're doing. It comes from knowing your destination. It comes from knowing your destiny. Stress comes from not knowing where you're going. Why? Because you get stressed out because you've got to make a decision of where to go. But if you know where to go, you've got no stress saying left. Amen? It's very simple. It's no biggie. Vision. You know, in the story in Luke 10, there's a story about Mary and Martha and Jesus. Everyone knows that, eh? That story in that Swiss. Well, Jesus said something that was to Martha that was quite life-changing. Martha is interesting. She's an interesting woman because Martha is a lot like us, really. She's a lot like us. She lives a life on assumptions and even on the assumption about God. Martha had a visitation from God. He was in her house. Jesus was there. Where was Martha? She's in the kitchen cooking. She assumed God was hungry, but he wasn't. He wasn't. And you know, I can actually assume things about God for me, and I can be totally off and totally wrong about my life. Vision comes from God. Your vision from your life comes from God. We don't tell him what to do. We report to him. Then what we do, we submit to him. We stay still until the revelation comes. And once when that revelation comes, and if that revelation does not come, there is no self-discipline. You'll keep going around and around in circles. So Martha ended up cooking for God. He wasn't hungry. Then she became angry because people weren't joining in her busyness, which was not appropriate. She tried to get other people involved in things that were not God's will for them. They were not God's will. Martha proceeded to cook for God, and then she came and she asked him to send her help, and then he asked her to send who? Her sister. And Jesus goes, Martha, 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 you are so busy about many things. You're so busy, Martha. You're trying to be everything and everything to everybody. And Jesus goes, Martha, only a few things are necessary. Not everything, but a few things are necessary. And life is filled with a lot of things that we believe are necessary. And I want to ask you a question, and don't answer this out loud. Just think about it. Just over the last 12 months in your life, what was necessary and what wasn't necessary? So the question is this, what does necessary mean? Yeah? In the book of 1 Corinthians 6, Paul says this, all things are permitted for me, lawful for me, but not all things benefit me. Paul says all things are permitted for me to do. I can do whatever I want. I can do whatever I want. But then he goes, but not all things benefit me. Interesting, eh? Because when you don't have a vision, what happens? You start experimenting until you try and hit it of what it is. And so what happens is that we become all things and we just do everything and we become everything to everybody. But then Jesus says to Martha, not all things are necessary. Man, church, when you know where you're heading, you'll know what doesn't benefit you. Interesting. You know, life is so short. Life is so short. You know, if it's around 70 years or 80 years people live to, you know, just in December we had about 3 or 4 funerals. Most of them were under the age of 70. And you know, if you're 50, like me, I'm already over 50% of 70. And life is so short. And this isn't a practice. And that's why for you to find vision, it is tricky, but it's doable. Because if you don't find vision for your life, that one thing while you're on planet Earth, your assignment, I tell you, you don't want to get up to 80 and try to figure it out then. I don't believe that we're here right here in the church this morning out of coincidence. I believe we're here because you needed to hear this word. I just think, and I know, I believe that we're here on planet Earth more than just to work and pay for bills. Amen? We're here for a particular assignment, and that particular assignment, guess what? If you don't get it, it's in Proverbs. You perish. You lose restraint. Okay. I want to show you, can I actually give you 4 steps on how to find that vision? It's really important. Try take notes, if you may. Step 1, capturing the vision. You know, there's a verse in the Bible and he says to capture your thoughts. It's a clear and simple to capture your vision when you hear what God has been saying to you for years. Your vision is within you. Your vision is not out there somewhere. You know, some people have said, you know, go and find your vision. Go out there and find your vision. You know, wait for a prophet to come and he'll tell you your vision. It's not like that. Sure, the prophet can help, but the prophets aren't always with us inside this church. Amen? We only get Fergus, what, once a year. Last year we didn't get him at all. 24 months ago and we're waiting for that. You know, understand, church. Your vision is inside you. Your vision is inside you. Your future is not ahead of you. It's trapped within you. Your future is not ahead of you. It's trapped inside you, young person. Man, once when you get your vision and you know where you're going and you know your choices, you are going to be very, very dangerous to the enemy. When you go to your workplaces, when you go to school, when you go to daycare, whatever your vocation in life where God's put you, you are going to be very dangerous. You're going to be a very dangerous person to the enemy because you know your vision. When you go to school, when you go to high school, imagine that. That there's someone on that high school site, all they want to do is start a small group there. I mean, when you've got someone like that that knows what they're about, you know you've got someone with discipline in this future. You might have your business. Get that under vision. Amen. God doesn't play cat and mouse with us. He doesn't want to not allow you to find it. He actually wants you because he put it there. And he wants you to find that. And where most important part of prayer is meditation. So how do you capture it? Well, you pray. 10 minutes talking to God and 30 minutes listening. Yeah. And sometimes we just talk too much. You know, I talk too much to God. Yabby, 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 yabby. And pray for my kids and pray for... And then I walk out. And he doesn't and I don't hear what he's been, what he wants, what I need the answer for. You ever known a person like that? Someone talks to you, they talk to you, they talk to you, and just before you go to tell them, they walk away. What a waste of a conversation. Church. When you pray, you pray for a little and you meditate for much. And in that meditation of where you've been praying, that is where you start getting the capturing the vision of what God has for you. Amen? When you pray, when you seek him, and when you do business with him, serious business of vision, because vision is your assignment for your life while you're on planet Earth. So that's why it's important for him to tell you what that is, Shane. Amen? So when we speak to God, when we pray for a little bit and be still and know that I am God. And you capture that. Amen? Step one, you capture it. How do you do that? By praying for smaller and meditating on it. And you watch. Just show it. Don't show your hands. But have you ever prayed and you've meditated, and the download comes straight away? Man, that happens all the time. It didn't used to happen because I was yapping, and I was talking. You know, it's like one of my kids. You know, one of my grandchildren. They can talk, man. And they're all, you know, the girls, and they're in my ear. But what they do, that they wait. They wait for the answer. Once they wait for the answer, they go. And that's what it's like with God. It's not hard to find the vision because you're walking it. It's inside you. It's just trapped there. You guys understand? I know you do. You find it inside you. I wanted to give handles for you guys to go away with so you can start looking at your vision. This is no practice run. Living is not practice. Living is it. We don't have a second go at it. So while we're walking, we might as well know where we're walking to, amen? Not just attending a church, not just loving our families, but our actual assignment and our vision for why we're on planet Earth. Amen. Be still and know that I am God. Step two, write it down and simplify. Find a quiet place, no distractions. If you look at David, if you look at those guys, you can notice that they actually went away and they actually found God, you know, in the quietness, because this world is so, there's a lot of distractions, yeah? You know, you got your phone going, you've got your mind going. But make a decision shortly to find a place and to be alone. And what you do, you write all your heart's desires down and compare it to the Bible. So what I'm saying is if one of your heart's desire is to rob a bank, Sammy, you compare that to the Bible, and the Bible says, you know, thou shalt not steal. Yeah, so you know that's not one of them, yeah? You know, if you, oh, you know, my vision is just to have $1 million in the bank in 2 months. Well, how is that, and you compare it to the Bible, and how is that going to help the commission? It's not. It's not going to save anyone if you have all that money in the bank, unless you do something with it. If your vision or your thoughts is, you know what, I want to build a school in every Cambodian village, not just one, but every Cambodian, if that's been stirring in your heart, that's part of it. You guys know what I mean? Yeah? If it's, if you want to do something, like, it's something that stirs inside you. It's something that stirs. It's your thoughts that don't go away. It's your dreams that keep coming back. If you want to start a business and you compare that to the Word of God and it's good to go, that's one of them. It's easy. It's not that hard. It's not that hard. It's your deepest desire. It's not about a house or a car. It's not about that. Because the house or the car comes when it comes to, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. Or everything that you need to live here are added unto you when you seek kingdom. So when it comes to vision, it's more about you as an individual that's been on you for a long time. What it is as well, it's something that you get mad about and no one else really gets mad. Yeah? Something that it's about a circumstance that makes you cranky, but you're the only one with the solution. You know, I've got a new one that I've got in my heart, and I want to share it with you. Is that okay? Animal cruelty. I didn't used to be like this, but probably over the last 2 to 3 years, there's something about it that I can't stand. And I know all of us are like that, aren't we? Everyone's like that. But there's something about me that I can't stand about it. It makes me, it infuriates me that someone should hurt a creature of God. It could be that, you know, something with domestic violence with you. You may not need it to go through that experience, but whenever you hear about children getting hurt or women getting bit, something like, there's something that switches your flick. Fix your switch, is that it? It's something about that. You guys know what I mean. It's something that does it. It's something that stirs you in such a way that, you know what, everyone can just keep going on with life, but whenever it comes up, there's a thing that peaks in you. That's the things. And it doesn't matter how old you are. If you have not yet got the vision, that means you have not yet hit that thing that God put in you. It's still trapped. Write your thoughts down. It says the thoughts of a righteous man are right. What does righteous mean? Righteous means to be aligned with God. Aligned with God. There's a verse in Proverbs and it says, and I love it, it's one of my favorite. And it actually says, the man that cares for animals is righteous. And I said, yes. It aligns with the Bible. So you write it down. Get away somewhere and write this. Listen to it. Capture it. Talk to God about it. Listen to him. Maybe on another day, set yourself up. And you know, you could have a few pages. I've already done it. I've got a few pages. And it's got them all. It's got all that stuff. Then what you want to do, and this could take a little time. And this is it. Then simplify it to short statements, maybe 7 or 8 statements with this, because there will be in all your listing, there will actually be continuity. You know, there will be a common thread through it, and you'll see it. I saw it. It wasn't hard for me, so it's not going to be hard for you guys. You guys know what I'm doing? Putting handles on it. It's okay for me to say, you know, about the vision. But if you guys walk away with no handles, there's no application. Amen? And here's the third one. And I might get whoever's on band to come up. And step 3. This is great. So the first one is to capture it. The second one is to write it down. The third point is to document it. And this will take some time. But I just believe when you get it, you'll be so disciplined with it that your vision will be the outcome. And what this is, you got to reduce your statements that you've just done with your gifts and callings on your life and come up to one major sentence. And what this sentence is about, this sentence is we're saying, this is who and what I am. This is what I bring to the world. Amen? This is what I offer this generation. When you know that statement and it aligns with the Word of God and it also aligns with your talents and also your giftings, and you put that into one statement about yourself, you know what you're about. So everything, your choices will be about that. The books you read will be about that. The people you hang out with will be about that. Will your friends get it? No, not necessarily. They may not be the friends you need in your life while you're doing this. Reducing your life to one sentence. And step four, communicate it. Put it on a plaque. Write it somewhere. Tell people about it. And then live it out. Live it out. You know, in Proverbs 19:21, it says, there are many plans in a man's heart, but nevertheless, the Lord's counsel will stand. Let me read that once more. There are many plans in our hearts. Yeah? There's a lot of things we can do. There's a lot of things we can do, but not everything's beneficial. There's a lot of things. But nevertheless, the Lord's counsel will stand. Capture. Capture it for your business. Capture it for yourself. Capture it. And write it down. Simplify it. Then document it. And then release it to the world. Amen? Amen, church? Amen. Those that know their vision, there are people in here that I assume that know their vision. I don't know. I mean, I'm just clicking into it. But if you know it, you go for it and go hard. Go hard. Give it the best go you can ever get. Just go for it. Go hard. If you don't know your vision, I challenge you and I encourage you. Have a go at this. Don't let 2016 or even half of 2016 be only about going to the gym, even though that's necessary. But allow it to be about you defining why you're on planet Earth. Amen? Amen. If you know your vision, go hard and enjoy your life. Enjoy it, man. I tell you, what a ride. But if you don't know it, I urge you to go see him and talk to him about it. But don't talk too long. Meditate. Amen? Amen. Let me just tell you a little bit about my journey, and then I'm going to pray. Do you know, earlier this year, me and my sister, crazy girl, we went away on a trip overseas, and it was awesome. But you know what?